You're listening to the BBS Radio Network, and this is Between Two Worlds with Derek White Sky Cloud, healer, author, shaman, paranormal investigator. Stay tuned. Up next is Between Two Worlds with Derek White Sky Cloud.
Hello, everyone. This is Derek White, Sky Cloud, and you're listening to Between Two Worlds, and you're watching us on Ustream.tv with on BBSRadio.com. Today, we were supposed to have the fellows that are actually involved with the Strauss Herb Company. They are located up in Kamloops, and these guys, the fellow, his name is Peter Helgeson, who's actually one of the special projects manager, and the other fellow was actually the lawyer who represented the company itself, who was actually Sean Buckley. And I was hoping that these guys, well, not hoping, I was no figured that these guys would be coming on tonight, because we already had this already set into play, and all of a sudden, they both didn't answer their phones. They left their answer machine on, so I can't reach these guys. I don't know what's going on. But it was all to do with protecting herbs, because right now our Canadian government and our American government is trying to take the herbs away from us. They're trying to regulate the herbs and turn them into a prescription, so a drug. They want to make them into drugs, and it does affect us. It does affect us. Because they want to take away the red yeast rice, the gota kola, the yohimbe bark, the cowhage, the velvet bean, which relates to eggs, carrots, milk, broccoli. The elements are also found in green teas, black teas, and chocolate, which is cocoa. So it's going to be interesting. Haven't been able to reach the fellows, and I know we're well. They're probably been busy doing defending the herbs in court. They were actually in court last week. I was hoping to get them on last week regarding the program, and they were looking at about at least a week to go through, get answers from the judge, and he was going to give an answer yes or no if they're going to protect them or let it go and let the federal government take it from us. I don't feel... Now, this is called a codex. If you guys know what this means, it's called a codex. Once you have a codex put into herbs, you cannot even possess them unless you have a license. So this is a thing that's going to cost per person, per item, about $5,000 per item in a health food store. All the health food stores will be closed. They'll be all closed unless they're owned by the federal government. And we don't want that, because right now Germany and other European countries today have been fighting to have the right to, they themselves have already lost their battle. Okay? And Germany now controls all the herbs. All the hospitals and the pharmacies control all the herbs in Germany and parts of Europe. And because they basically, the people themselves in the country just didn't even listen. They thought, no, you're not going to do nothing about it. And nobody paid attention to it. And they walked away thinking nobody's going to do anything about it. They walked away and they lost. So all of a sudden now here we are. We're in a situation that we're trying to protect our herbs. That means that you can't even have a garden. Do you know that? Folks, if you want to have a garden, you'd have to have a license. A license to have a garden, and you would have to have a license to grow certain herbs. And they would be, for example, if you want to grow a certain flower, that would be taken away from you. They would never be allowed to grow, say, poppies, Russian poppies, which people say makes a drug, which we don't really care about it. all types of flowers that do help benefit us. Even roses help benefit us, but they're used for natural aromatherapies, and they're trying to regulate everything that we cannot preserve for ourselves. They're trying to tell us now. I mean, here's how it works, and I'll read you the story on this. This is actually going to blow you away. It's a reminder that there is a precedent-setting court case starting this week in Vancouver, BC, Canada, that impacts the future of herbs. If you live near Vancouver, BC, we're looking to help pack the courtrooms so that a clear message is sent to the judge regarding Canadian interest in the outcome of this case. In a nutshell, Strauss Herb Company is defending the Yohimbe bark from Health Canada's drug prescription regulations. Everyone agrees that you cannot take something listed as a prescription drug and add it to a natural health product, says Strauss lawyer Sean Buckley. However, this is not enough for Health Canada, which drew out a policy in the fall of 2004. According to the new policy, if you can extract a prescription substance from a plant, then the plant is a prescription drug and is only available by prescription. So far, Health Canada has targeted these items: the red yeast rice, the gota cola, yohimbe bark, cowhage, velvet bean, and many, many more, which relates to a lot of these things we actually have today. The list of plants from which you can extract prescription substances is long and includes very common botanical elements found in green teas, black teas, cocoa, which is chocolate. It also includes elements found in common foods such as eggs, carrots, milk, broccoli, etc. See the list called now. They have a list actually on the website. If you go to the front page of bbsradio.com, you'll see the poster I put on the front page, and it'll show you the little part there about the legislation and where to go to. This court case is not successful, says Buckley. Health Canada will have a powerful weapon to drive foods and other natural health botanicals and products derived from them out of the marketplace. They will drive the foods out of the marketplace. They will be available by prescription only. I mean, let's put it this way. Can you actually see yourself going to a doctor and say, can I have a dozen eggs? You know? Sean Buckley, who's a lawyer for Strauss, will also be our guest. Now, basically, I was going to say he was going to be our guest tonight. Couldn't reach the guys. So, but to share some of the stories on this, it is a horror story because I'll tell you this right now, folks. When I was up north in northern Alberta, I was doing the health conference, the diabetes conference on the reservation up in the area of Slave Lake. And I was doing work for the Drift Paul First Nations, wonderful people to work under. And they were promoting traditional medicines. I mean, basically it's what we all do. We try to promote traditional medicines to help deal with, you know, any type of illness, whether it's diabetes, hep C, AIDS, or drug addictions themselves alone. And we're trying to help cancer, the whole nine yards. And anyways, part of that, Health Canada was one of the sponsors to help support this program. Now, it's wonderful to have Health Canada help us, but here's the buts. Their rules are, in return, they want to take photographs of all the herbs that we promote ourselves as a community, and they want us to sign an affidavit, and if they don't agree of what they see that's on that photograph that we signed and telling them what it is, if they don't agree with what we have, they have the right to arrest us and throw us in jail for 10 years for illegal possession of a herb prescribing, like as if we are illegal doctors. They are treating us like we don't know what we're talking about. They are believing that no matter what we have in this country, no matter what we use, we can overdose. We may die. Well, here's the story. If Health Canada thinks that they can get away with it, sorry. Because what we did, really, the person that was trying to get us to sign the papers, we told that person to take a hike. We refused to sign. and we will to this day. I do not accept whatsoever anyone telling me how I should live and what I should take and to consume in my body. This is my body. I own it. The government doesn't own it. According to Health Canada, they believe they own us. Because once we put a SIN number on a piece of paper and register with the government, then the government now owns us. They own us. They say they own us. We're slaves to Canada. We're slaves to the United States. We're nobody's slave. It's supposed to be called a free country. But they can tell us what to do, and they'll say, you got to take this. If you don't take this, you're going to die. And there's that big threat. You're going to die. If you don't take this, you're going to die. Or if you do what I tell you, you're going to die. Well, c'est la vie. I'm still here, guys. I'm tough as nails. I don't care how long I live till. If I'm short or long, I've been in another spirit world 3-4 times myself. I've seen the other side. I'm not afraid of it. Some people still have that belief system. They think that they are to be afraid, and I'm not going to accept this. But what I'm going to do to I had a talk with a good friend of mine. I had Joanne, who's like family to me. Well, she's really to family through my cousins, by the way. So I call her cousin anyway. I'm going to get a hold of Joanne Arnold, and we're going to have some fun talking about orbs. Now, this is something everyone wants to get into, is to get into orbs. Let's get into orbs, and the health part, we'll talk about it later on. But there are some subjects in there that she was doing some ghost hunting in that area in Winnipeg, Manitoba, which is the eastern part of Canada. Folks, we're in the western part of Canada. We're closer to Seattle, and Winnipeg's closer toward Toronto. So you're more, I think it's Detroit, if I'm correct, that Winnipeg's closest to. I could be wrong. No, it's North Dakota. That's what it is. I think it's North Dakota. But anyways, let me see if I can get a hold of this wonderful lady. Get a hold of her here. Nope. That's not the one I wanted. Okay. Come on, Derek. Where are you? Here we go. I'm going to add her in the call and give her a call, and we're going to have a chat with Joanne Arnold.
Hello.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, my friend. How are you?
Good, good.
That's good.
What can I do for you? Well, I decided to give you a call. We had a really great conversation last week. We never did get a chance to finish everything we were talking about.
Uh-huh.
Regarding the ghost hunting that you had done in the Parliament building, I believe?
Yep. Well, it was actually the Parliament building and the cemetery and the St. Boniface Museum.
Yeah, let's talk about it. I think it's going to get a lot of people's curiosity what's going on. Now, have you guys ever tried doing any EVPs at all when you're doing your research?
Yeah, like I told you, my sister had brought her voice recorder, and I think tonight's her last night on a stretch of work, so she'll be able to get into that to see if there was anything on there, and I'll phone her tomorrow and find that. But yeah, she did bring an EVP voice recorder, so we will see how that turns out. And there was a video recorder there. One of the people in the group brought a video recorder, and the majority of the rest of the people brought their cameras.
So did you get any sound or any voices on the? Did you listen to any of those at all? Or
no, we didn't get a chance to do that. Not yet. No.
No.
I'm hoping tomorrow. When I contact her, I'm hoping tomorrow she'll go through it and see if there was anything.
I know you sent me a bunch of you sent me some emails and some photos that
mm-hmm.
you guys have taken, and you got some pretty phenomenal orbs in there.
Well, like I told you last Tuesday, when I got off the bus, I was feeling nauseated as soon as we got to St. Boniface Museum, and you had told me that when you had gone there before that you felt nauseated.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's common.
My oldest daughter, every time she drives past there, she gets nauseated.
Uh-huh.
Just from driving past there. But anyway, I got off the bus and I felt nauseated, so I thought maybe it was the bus ride. But as I got closer to the door, closer to the steps, I started getting dizzy. So I thought, okay, maybe the spirits are trying to contact me. And I didn't know anything. This was my first time being there, and I didn't know anything about the museum other than the Grey Nuns had run it way uh-huh. back when. And I walked inside, and as soon as I walked inside, something said to me, start snapping pictures. So the first picture I snapped, there was that great big orb. And one of my friends, I sent it to another friend, and she said she sees a triangle in it, which means something about the Holy Trinity or something like that. So I'm just wondering if that was the spirit of the head Grey Nun that ran that building. Because she apparently haunts there. Or not haunts there, but she visits there.
Well, you know, if you think about it, first of all, you think about the antiques.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring in an energy, okay, of, you know, who has crossed over. There's a lot of history there at those antiques. I mean, there's a lot of old items in that building.
Oh, yeah.
Besides, you know, those people that actually lived that lifetime in then.
Yeah.
And I would say there's more to it. I would still believe that there, it has something to do with the trauma as well with, Louis Riel.
Oh, definitely. Like, I mean, once they brought his sash into that building, I mean, I bet you there's some lots and lots of phenomenon going on in there.
Yeah, because you think about it, there's quite a few. I mean, when I was in there myself, okay, and like I said before, when I got close to his coffin, they had the coffin was like a light green in color. Mm. I've never seen coffin painted before, but that back then, those years, 1776, no, it was 1876. Yeah, I think he was buried, and it was that green coffin after they hung him. And his energy is connected to that coffin because when I got, they have, as you're coming into the door
mm-hmm.
in St. Boniface, going to your right where they had all the Aboriginal artifacts there.
Yeah.
And Louis Riel's coffin and a piece of the rope, the hanging rope, was right there. And you can literally reach out and touch the coffin. And I was getting my hands on, like, just about to touch the coffin, just to feel it, the energy.
Mm-hmm.
I swore to God I was going to throw up, and I felt so much anger.
Oh.
I felt like I was enraged, but I also felt like I was, deceived.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Okay. I had that mm-hmm. feeling I was deceived. Like, I feel more to this history of what Riel had went through. The whole story about Riel is not really completed.
No, it's not.
They're going by a white man's story, but
yep.
not the response and how Riel felt.
Right. Now, do you remember, I told you Zita had come to Winnipeg to visit in June, right? And we had, Zita had come to visit us in June, and I took her on a little tour around the city. And where the Forks is now, it's a big shopping complex by the river there. Well, across the street from it is Upper Fort Garry doorway. Is still standing and whatnot. And we were coming out of the Forks, and she said to me, she says, oh my God, I hear so much yelling going on. And she was describing to me like somebody somebody was, you know, like a court-like? I know he wasn't tried here. He was tried in Regina. But, I mean, it was like, to me, the image I got was like, it was the day of, they had come in with force and taken some of his men, because he wasn't here, obviously, but I mean,
yeah.
There was a lot of yelling going on, and there was a lot of, she felt the only way I can describe it was like, she was saying that these men were saying, all she kept hearing was, you weren't supposed to do that type of thing. You know, you can't take that into your own hands type thing.
Yeah.
So, and then I told her the history. Like, I hadn't explained to her or anything like that what was going on, what had gone on and whatnot. But then afterwards I told her, you know, like, she could be hearing, like, what had gone on when they come to get Riel's men.
Uh-huh.
And, St. Boniface Museum, where you said the coffin was, well, now that is where Riel's memoriam is going to be, like, his pictures in there, all the stuff that belonged to him is going to be in this room, and I think that's where they're going to be putting some of the Aboriginal artifacts.
I'm surprised, really, that in the St. Boniface Museum itself is going there, because I thought the Métis Association was going to take all the artifacts themselves and put it into their museum, which was downtown on, I think, is it Smith Drive?
No, I've never heard of the Métis Museum being on Smith. There's no Smith Drive.
No, I'm wrong about the street, but
Smith
it was,
street?
Remember that, yeah, it's like it's like a three or four story building. And they own that building, they said.
Oh, no, that's on Albert.
Albert Street. Yeah, sorry, Albert Street.
That's,
yeah.
Yeah, that's the Manitoba Métis Federation.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have a museum in there. Now, I don't know. I haven't heard that. All I've heard that was his stuff was being stored at the museum at St. Boniface, and when we went there, that his picture was in this room. It was all closed off. Like, there was, like a board in front of it. You can't enter it, which tells me, like, I didn't ask, but it tells me that they're constructing what's going on inside, and they're building shelves and whatnot and glass cases.
Yeah.
To show his stuff. So, that will be his room for now, unless the, NMF is going to take it.
When I saw the room, I saw the photographs of
mm-hmm.
the location they were going to put him there, or put mm-hmm. what was there. To me, it looked like a common room. Nothing really has that historical look to it.
No, it's just a room right now.
I would have made it look like a trading post, or him inside of a trading post. You know,
mm-hmm.
like a three-sided wall, look like as if he's inside the trading post in the fur trade, like the Hudson's Bay Company or Hudson's
yeah.
Bay trading post. That's how I would see it. Him
yeah.
inside there in his moccasins or whatever. Like, and something else they should seriously consider is actually making a wax
figure.
Of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that would really make it more authentic. Because anybody who makes a wax figure of someone, their spirit really is in the attention. Like, it really is in the presence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know, because I feel it's strong at work.
Well, that's a good idea. Maybe I can put in a suggestion for that.
Yeah, because basically I feel it's important that somebody should make a wax figure of Riel. Not a head. I'm talking about the whole
no,
body.
Yeah.
You know, and do
yeah.
one of Dumont. Do one of Poundmaker. You know, like,
exactly.
Have it where they're all somehow involved.
And don't forget Big Bear.
And Big Bear. Or you want to put in, you know, like, you can literally one specific, a whole complete area where many different figures that were involved in the past, historically.
Yeah.
Really. It would be one heck of a room. So like almost like a Métis wax museum, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you know, thinking about it, they pretty much need a building to themselves, really.
Well, again, you know, if they wanted to set up some sort of section like that, I really don't think this St. Boniface Museum is really trying hard enough to really make it look what it should look like. To me, it looks like something slapped together and say, well, here's a bunch of pictures. This is what Real did.
Yeah.
Typical.
Yeah.
Sorry, but I mean, that's still typical.
Well, you know, we don't know if they have the money to do it or, you know, what's going on.
All it takes is the Métis community to come together and donate, if necessary, to say, well, let's get some wax figures made. We're going to donate money to have this work.
Mm-hmm.
But do you know what the museum, St. Boniface Museum, should say, because there's to consider is actually to approach the Manitoba Métis Association and say, this is what we have as far as proposal concern. Would you like to get involved?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, would it hurt? No, it would not hurt. I mean, I know very well my good friend. You know what? I'm going to get a hold of him right now as you and I are talking.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to get a whole good friend of mine, Dale Haggerty.
Oh, yes,
Dale. I hope Dale is on. And I will get him in here as well, into the room.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, see if he's there and have him part, because I think it's important that he should be hearing this too, participate in this one. I'm hoping he's there right now.
Hello?
Hello.
Hey, brother.
How you doing?
Good.
Good.
Have you been listening to the show?
Now, what are you doing? Doing?
We're having a Métis standoff. No.
You've got an archive on. It didn't sound like an archive.
No, we're live right now as we speak.
Well, how can you be doing that and talking?
I can. I can do what I want.
Yeah, obviously.
Have you been listening into what we're talking about?
Yeah.
What do you guys think of the idea we're talking about, basically, is you should seriously consider making Louis Riel and Dumont and maybe a few others, like wax figures?
Oh, it's a good idea.
Because we were like,
a good idea.
Yeah. See, and again, like here is, this is, I mean, you know Dale Haggerty, young Dale Haggerty.
Uh-oh.
You've got a three-way call going, you rat.
Yes, I do.
Yeah,
am I allowed to say that on the radio?
Yes, I can.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi, Dale. How are you?
Good.
That's good.
Yeah, you guys are talking about, sort of a Métis.
Yeah, we're talking about Rio.
About the wax figures
and
stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good idea.
Yeah, and also, like, we're talking about, like, she sent me a bunch of orbs, pictures, photographs of spirits being in the building itself. And we're talking about, you know, how I responded to the my feelings to the coffin. I'm going to go back to Winnipeg again. I'm there from there, but I like to go back to Winnipeg again and do just an investigation specifically concentrate on in the Real area, anything to do with the history of the Métis, and see what you get as far as that is concerned, and trying to make contact with those who have crossed over that are connected to the past.
Yeah.
Well, I really strongly feel it would work.
Also, did you see the pictures of Gail and I standing beside Real's monument and the orbs that were there?
Yes, I did. Which one? The one with him with him with
Gail,
the head, right?
Gail was, yeah, that's the head on the big cement circular pole there.
Yeah.
There's an orb down on the first cement step.
Yeah.
And that one's moving. And then in both our pictures, by the pole, there's a pole beside the monument, and in the picture that I took of Gale, there's one huge, huge orb, and it's like it's in front of the pool. And then when she took the picture of me, it was this orb was behind the pool, and there was a little other orbs too. But when I saw the huge orb, that just sent a chill down my spine. Like, not a bad chill, a good chill.
Do you feel they're following you?
I did. Yeah, because when I was inside the museum, I was around, like, I felt like there was, like, there were people around me, so I just naturally thought they were them, but once I stepped outside, it's almost like somebody was behind me, and there was nobody following me out of the building. And I was going to the monument to take a picture of Gale. And when I was leaving, I was thinking to myself, okay, I don't want anybody coming home with me. So I'm letting them know you got to stay here. You can't come with me. And
why didn't you want them coming home with you?
I don't want any spirits coming home with me. Thank you. I have enough to deal with here. But no. So they were there. Yeah, I felt. Now whether it's Riel himself, I don't know. But
I got one here that you sent me, which is actually in the apartment building where it looks like it's a face in there.
Which one was that?
You wrote.
Okay. Oh yes, the one with the rotunda.
You see the eyes, nose, and what they call the mustache.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know if it's a mustache or not. I just thought maybe.
But it's a face floating.
Yeah, that's, see what...
And I sent that to you as well, Dale. Did you see it?
Yeah, I'm trying to get it located right now as we speak.
Yeah.
The reason why I took that picture was when I had walked into the rotunda, something said to me, you know, like look up. And when I get that feeling that somebody's talking to me, I snap a picture right away.
Yeah.
In the corridors as well. In the corridors as well, there was we were off to the left, to the right side of the building, just as you got into the doors, around the grand staircase, right?
Yeah.
We're on the right side of the staircase, and when I walked in and turned at the staircase, turned to my right, I saw the flash of a man, I guess he was tall. He had a dark suit on, and he didn't present himself as being scary or, you know, he was very calm and whatnot, but it's like he was following me around, and he wanted my attention, and I knew he wanted my attention, and I could feel him every once in a while.
Oh, I know who that is.
Who?
It's your brother.
My brother?
Yeah.
My brother.
Oh, your the relative you lost that passed.
Oh, my cousin.
Your cousin.
Oh, my cousin. Well, I don't know. He wasn't very tall. He wasn't a very tall person.
No, but I'm looking at the picture and I'm comparing it now to your cousin from NING, our Métis page, and they look so familiar.
Oh. You think they look familiar?
The one that's following you is your own cousin.
I don't know. But,
I don't know. I'm thinking that's what it is. I get this feeling that's who it is.
I don't know. The spirit really wanted my attention that night. And we, like, I even, the guys were talking about different things in there. And all of a sudden I started hearing men singing. And I thought, why would men be singing in the Parliament building? So I turned to my left,
yeah.
And I couldn't see anything at the time. And then I turned again, and that's when I saw the gentleman, when I came into the building, he was now up on the second floor, standing behind the cement rail. And I glanced, and I said in my mind, yeah, I know you're there. And never paid any more attention to him, and I started listening to the guides again,
uh-huh.
and And then they said, okay, we're going to go into the rotunda. And as I walked past this, like, you go down the corridor a little bit, and then you turn left, and that takes you to that hallway takes you to the rotunda. Well, off to the right is an exit corridor because
yeah.
there's a door there. And I think I sent you that one too. I'm not too sure. It's got a yellow cone there. I'll send it to you. There's a yellow cone there, and I guess that's to tell you you're not supposed to be going out that door. But anyway, something said, snap your picture right away, and I snapped my picture. And when I came home and I looked at it, there was this orb moving off to the left side of the picture. So, and I had sent this to a friend as well who sees spirit.
Well, that's a light hanging from a ceiling in that one room. The last one that you sent me, which is the legislature building, the one room which has a pillar to the right. But I'm seeing the orbs there. Yes. But that's the light is the white light in the top right corner. Is that an orb or is that a light that hangs from the ceiling? I think it hangs from the ceiling.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to go into my. In the rotunda, there is no light hanging from the ceiling. But you know what? I better not say anything until I actually know. Hold on. Okay.
It looks like one giant light bulb in there on the top of the ceiling, but then.
Oh no, that's not a light bulb. That's not a light. That is that's the whole. You know where the Golden Boy is?
Yeah.
Well, if you keep going straight up, that's where he is. But that is the hole to the. I think it's the third floor.
Yeah.
You go onto the third floor and you look down.
Yeah.
Well, that right there is the wall, and that's just lit up because of lights. There was lights. The lights were on, but they're on either side. They're not. That's not the. I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah.
That looks light to me too, Derek.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not. Yeah. It's what it is. It's the wall, and on either side there is a light. I'm just gonna
enlarge.
Okay. I'm just gonna get it open here.
Okay. Now, I really strongly feel that we do have a lot of history, I mean, a lot of ghostly history in our Métis history.
Oh, yeah.
Because I know, especially Winnipeg. Winnipeg is considered one of the oldest battlegrounds in the area, especially some of the areas, because there are a lot of graveyards that are started in the 1600s.
Yeah. Well, you know, when I'm at the fort, and I'm by the water, I get the most horrific feeling of dread, and it's not because, like, I have a fear of water, deep dark water, but I mean it's not because of the fear of that water. I could be standing way back from it and just look at the river, and
uh-huh.
and I get this very, very overwhelming sensation of dread. And that's because of all the battles that went on there, I believe.
Yeah.
You know, like,
do they still have that one statue that did of Real naked, running naked, and then?
Yes, unfortunately, yes.
And then someone broke his penis off.
No, that I didn't know. But yeah,
this
no.
is a true story. I heard this is a true story. The people, I guess, the guy who the artist was, it shows Real running naked, and even they get into the detail where he actually had a penis.
Oh, God.
And I guess that some of the people in neighborhoods were offended, so they put a
yeah.
wall up in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
So they won't be offended, but if you want to see the statue, you have to go around and take a look at it. And then, I guess, not too long after, someone broke the penis off. They used a hammer or whatever and broke it off, and that disappeared. So they had to find other ways to...
I know.
I remember that story.
I thought it was
made up, but it was real. Actually,
when they presented that in the paper, I thought that was the most dishonorable thing that they could do to him.
I know.
You know, they had the gentleman who did the statue in the paper, and he said it was something about had to do with freedom. He was fighting for the cause of freedom for the Métis people.
Yep.
And I thought, well,
you don't fight for the cause of freedom naked.
Well, I think to myself, like, could you not do it a different way? Like, show it a different way?
Anybody who fights for freedom is, and then they did say he was insane, you know, like the government stated he was insane, so.
I don't believe
if you're running naked into an insane asylum, you're running free naked, so that's why they're trying to figure, that ain't gonna work. I don't care for it, really.
No, I didn't either. I don't believe he was insane either. I believe he was talking with spirit all the time, and they were guiding him.
He was a futurist. This man knew his stuff. I strongly feel that he was stronger than you think.
Yep.
He saw things that most people didn't.
Exactly. Yep.
You know, he had his visions, and I really strongly believe that the government really was afraid. Of his words and
mm-hmm.
his power.
I totally believe that, you know, like his insaneness, you know, Spirit was talking to him and telling him, you know, what he should be doing.
I've got a very strong feeling you're going to be actually being called to be there more often to do more research. I think what you and the rest of the group, Gail and them, should do is actually just do a Métis investigation, see if you can make contact with Spirit, like make contact with the Métis people in Spirit and see what your response would be.
Mm.
You know, try and see if you can talk to Lou Real, because his body's there. I mean, his energy is on that coffin. I felt it. I mean, I'm telling you, I was there. It jolted me. I didn't expect that.
The sad thing is, okay, we had, like, the flood we had in the 50s, like, the majority of the coffins were uprooted because of the flood and pushed away and whatnot. And
mm-hmm.
they said they have his coffin, but who knows? You know, like, it could be buried someplace else and they not know.
Oh, no, that was purely his coffin, because what
he was in it?
He was in it. What happened was that coffin was put into the cathedral, the one that's next to the St. Boniface Museum, and that cathedral
mm-hmm.
burnt. Remember, it had the fire back in 82?
Yeah.
And it was actually in the basement. And they found it and started to burn. And someone said, oh, that's Real's coffin. We've got to get it out of here. And so when the fire was running, so they grabbed the coffin and carried it out. There's nothing inside. I mean, he was buried, but it was actually a corner of the coffin. I think the right side was burnt.
Mm-hmm.
But still, it preserved. And they decided to bring it into the museum, which they should have done a long time ago.
Yeah.
But they figured, well, coffin's a coffin, you know.
Well, that's just it, you know. Like, nobody's in it. Like, why would they worry?
But when Real became historical... Anything connected to him, including the coffin, they want to make sure that it's, you know, this is Real's coffin, it's a piece of his rope,
mm-hmm.
you know, it could be a shoelace, and you know, this is a part of his shoelace. Well,
mm-hmm.
you know, they're going to put everything in there as much as they can to make it look as if it's authentic as possible. And they're still finding artifacts. I mean, if you talk to Dale, okay,
mm-hmm.
is the big guy around?
Sorta.
You
want to ask him something?
Sure.
I just want to ask you something.
Sure.
Joanne, there's a picture with a bunch of people in, and there's a corridor, and there's all kinds of orbs on it, and there's flying orbs on the right-hand side, or left-hand side, I should say. Do you know the picture I'm talking about?
I believe so. I think that's...
It's a good one. But I was going to make a remark that the lights that you see hanging along that corridor, that's
uh-huh.
the same kind of light that we saw in that one picture next to a column. It's the same exact shape.
Oh, okay.
You know that picture that has that big column on the right-hand side? Well, and you can see one of those lights, but you can't see the thing that it hangs from. I think that's the same thing. But that's a really good picture you have, this one, with the lines.
Well, I just thought that was me. Like, my, I thought maybe, you know, like I was moving when I took that picture.
Well, I don't think so. I think those are moving orbs. Because everything else would be moving otherwise, you see.
Because what made me think that, Dale, is right down the center of that corridor, there are lights every so often. Like, you know, every spaced every so many feet. And I thought maybe that was just the, you know, from the shaking of the camera, that's how those lights went.
I don't think so.
See, there's one here with...
I've seen orbs like that before. Go ahead, Derek.
There's one here too with the statue, when Gail's in front of the statue of Riel, and there's even a light beam on the leg, and in fact, she got two light beams, one on her
leg,
not just the red one, but also the white up and down light,
and
the one to her left. Like, she's got a lot of activity around her.
Oh, no kidding! You should see her when
they're called spirit rods.
When she was, I'm just looking for it now. When she was in the cemetery, she was like where did her picture go? A couple of those rods. Oh, no, I'm missing her picture. A couple of those rods, a couple of those things on her leg, I was wondering if that was like spirit. You know, because one was red, and I think one is, I think you said white. I can't seem to find a picture right now.
Yeah, there's a white light on the left leg,
mm-hmm.
and there's a white light, up and down light, on the right arm of the jacket. Now, there's no reflection on the item itself, so that tells me that that's them, because the light itself is actually moving.
Okay.
You can see the activity, like as if it's zooming, you know, high, and then you go into a freeze frame.
Yeah. Well, I thought that was just a reflection off her jacket, because it's also on her shoes too. And I thought, okay, maybe it's just she's got something on her jacket that we
see. Well, the shoes are different. I can see the shoes, but that would not cause those to reflect the same direction as her jacket. There's no way.
Okay.
No way.
I'm going to take you in to ask Dale that question before you have to go off.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going into the living room now.
Go ahead.
Hey, my friend, how's it going?
Not too bad.
Good. I got you on radio here.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
It's a special occasion.
Special occasion. We made it. We got Joanne Arnault here as well.
Hi, Joanne.
Hi, Dale. How are you?
Not too bad.
That's good.
Hi, cousin.
Cousin. We were talking about three things, actually. One is we're talking about Riel, how his energy has become, like, it's in spirit, like, even though he's crossed over, there's more to him in the history. Well, let's talk about, first of all, one is that we're talking about what would Winnipeg think if someone actually made a proposal by saying, should there be wax figures made of Louis Riel, Gabriel Dumont, Poundmaker, them, that affected the Métis history. And the other one would be, there's also Riel's coffin that's in there, and there's other things that are happening in this building. We're talking about more like also in the spirit connection of orbs, but someone should actually go into St. Boniface itself, into the museum, and do an investigation, paranormal investigation, and talk to the Métis spirits. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, I think that would be a great idea. You know, there's been a lot of, in the last 8-9 years that I've been heavily involved in this, I've actually had the experience of two experiences, and one was at the Red River West, and I don't know, Derek, if you ever remember when they were doing the reenactment of the Battle of Batoche.
Yeah.
Last days, and they all were using the old black powder rifles, and what they did was when they fired off that last round, of course, I was part of the reenactment, and I was, of course, I was on the other side because they needed some actors that had red coats and stuff like this. So, but somebody had taken a picture of the actual event, and oh, it was Dale that actually took the picture of the event when the rifles all went off, and I got it developed about a month later, and that's when we discovered that we could actually see the actual figure of Louis Riel in that.
Wow.
Yeah, and a matter of fact, I think we still got it. I think I gave a copy to Richard Larson, and it's not like he's not a believer, but he sure changed his tune real quick because it holding the cross. A matter of fact, and
wow,
you should actually send that to me, and I'll put it up on the site.
Yeah,
and
well,
let people know about this.
Yeah, and another incident is, you know, Wally Garreau?
Yeah.
I sense the feeling of he's got Louis Riel's spirit in him.
Oh, wow.
And for some reason, he goes into a, and nobody's ever said this to him, but he goes into this complete trance, and you can't. He's dedicating his whole life. Yeah, he like Dale says, he's channeling Louis, and he does a reenactment of him in the courthouse.
Yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and I'm telling you, it was the first time I ever saw that. I was with Christopher and my son, and it brought tears to his eyes.
Yeah.
And my son doesn't have the knowledge of outside of Louis Riel of being a Métis leader, but he had no idea of what the court case was all about and everything else. And my son was in total tears. It was amazing that he said that. I could feel him.
Wow.
And that's unbelievable for my son to say stuff like that.
You know? And when we told Wally was really quiet.
Yeah, and when we told Wally that, he didn't, he was unbelievable.
Really quiet.
Very, very quiet.
Well, guys, I'd like to thank you very much for being on my show.
Well, thank you for having me.
Eric, I had to come in late.
Yeah.
I apologize. I wish I would have known this earlier.
We were supposed to have somebody else on. They didn't come on, so I just chose you guys. So we're going to have, we thought we'd just have some fun. Anyways, guys, it's been a pleasure having you on, and we got to do this more often.
Yeah.
For paranormal talk about the Métis. It's been a pleasure, folks. And I also want to wish happy birthday to my granddaughter. She's also Métis, officially Métis. I know that for sure. She's a POTS. She's 2 years old today. 2 years old. I'd like to wish happy birthday to Kira. So, anyways, take care, folks, and happy Halloween. Have a safe Halloween for all of you out there, and I'm sure we'll be doing quite well. And I hear explosions around my house all the time, so it feels like as if you're doing another Riel rebellion. Anyway, take care, guys. We'll talk to you later, and we'll have fun next week. Take care, folks.
Bye.
We're going to have me on there, and we'll talk about, we're going to have a great friend coming in who's a pipe carrier from Peru, and he's quite the visionary, so we're going to have him on next week. So talk to you. So anyways, folks, take care, and we'll chat with you later on. Bye.